everybody, welcome back to the Mark Wing podcast. Today we've got a very exciting podcast because I'm joined by two very exciting guests. I am joined by Michael, the founder, the god of Lord It Solicitors. Hi Michael.
Good morning.
And I'm also joined by one of our trainees, Senna.
Good morning.
Good morning both. Now, today I am going to be the observer in this conversation because we are discussing a side brand of Lord It, Lord It Music, which you both are very heavily involved in, and I am not, but I'm very interested to hear exactly what you guys do at Lord It Music, and I believe today we are discussing music contracts.
Yes, and the importance of the clauses within them, specifically artist management agreements.
Right, so am I right in thinking an artist management agreement is the agreement between your favourite band and your singer and their management, the people that are controlling their lives and getting them their gigs and essentially helping them along their road in their music career?
Exactly, yes.
So it is very important that that agreement accurately reflects how those two parties want to work together, mm-hmm. and that both sides are protected within that.
Yeah, yeah, and also that they kind of agree with their collective goals and that they fully understand each other's positions. And we often find, don't we, Michael, when we get artists, they're usually quite confused about the clauses and in essence what they mean.
No, very much so. And also, hello everyone, also I think the most, I don't mean this in a rude way, but most artists, obviously they're focused on their artistic content and they don't really want to faff around with, who's going to be in Stoke on Monday night at 7:30.
Yeah, they're the creative, all they want to do is make the music.
Yeah, and so that's why the management contract is so important, and that's why it's so important to have a good manager. And it's like a wee marriage, really. You need to have a synergy and a compliance together. You know, you're going to be working for at least, 2 to 5 years? Two to three years?
At least, usually.
And, usually one manager has other bands, has other artists. It's not as if they're coming to the table completely. But there will be managers who are just starting out. So if you are a manager starting out, so wanting to get into it, and you feel you can offer artists your guidance, then it's definitely worthwhile having a contract. And the main clauses being, Senna?
The most important, I would say, is exclusivity, which you kind of just touched on right now. So
what does that mean from an artist's perspective, exclusivity?
So usually, as you just said, the manager will have several artists under their wing, whereas the artist will usually have the one manager, which is why it's important from the offset for the artist to determine exactly how much commitment that manager will be providing them with. This is usually in the form of what's known as a minimum commitment of time that the manager commits to provide to that artist specifically.
Yeah, and for payment, what's the type of pay? How do we get paid? I'm a manager, how do I get paid?
So in two forms, it's either usually through commission or royalties. And this is usually covered under the commission and royalties clauses separately. Another thing for artists, I think, that was definitely worth checking out in the agreement is expenses. Who's responsible for paying the expenses? An example of this could be a manager pays to hire out a venue for the artist to perform in. Who will bear the costs of this and how will the artist be reimbursed?
Yeah, I think it's really important to, and in the cases that we've dealt with in the past, is when the horse has left the stable and bills and monies start stacking up. So, you know, can you imagine if you're on tour with a band, you know, the record company and or the manager will be digging into their pockets in order to provide suitable venues, advertising, etc., etc. And the manager will be responsible for that too. So it's definitely worthwhile having some form of, almost like an example of what monies will be coming to the manager, what he's expecting to receive in terms of his expenses. Mm-hmm. Give an example, you know, that'd be kind of useful. But, and you're starting out, the manager will be committing monies on behalf of the band usually. And he's not doing that for free. He's doing that hopefully to get me paid and or recompense via royalties or how the success of the band goes by his 15 or 20%.
Yeah.
So it's keep the contract really simple and transparent. We can be, we as solicitors can get slightly, we can go down a rabbit hole and you can have 20, 30, 40 pages contracts as you guys have probably seen over the years or musicians have seen. So we like to keep them simple and plain and easy to understand. Contracts for thickies, we call it. No, we don't. It's very important that we do the contract in a transparent way, that's in a serious way, but also you have to have some legalese, but there's no reason why you can't make it a little bit more simple.
Yeah, and just on that, it's very important for the artists to ensure that they obtain legal advice. You know, a lot of the time I find that artists go ahead, they're getting themselves into these contracts that sometimes can be years and years on end or very difficult to get out of. And
we've sort of got to the stage now that if you don't get legal advice, so any manager who pushes through a contract with a band and the band doesn't have legal advice, and let's say, for example, in that contract, a manager is charging 65% over a 5-year period. That would be deemed unlawful because the band hasn't had legal advice, and all the case law has indicated right up to the present day that where the contract terms are unreasonable, then that contract may well be voidable, or certainly that clause may be voidable rather than the whole contract itself. So
I think the industry has learned from its previous mistakes, hasn't it?
There seems to
be a lot of horror stories out there of even big name artists. I mean, the first one that comes to mind is Taylor Swift, having been so excited by the opportunity to have a record deal that actually they would just sign their life away, and now they're further in their career, they're having to sort of take steps to try and sort of get a little bit of control back. It can be very easy, I think, for artists to be blindsided with sort of maybe rose-tinted glasses and see all the positives, but not to take a step back and make sure that everything is in place.
Yeah, and I think that there's good case laws from Joan Armour Trading to George Michael to Elton John. Sorry, I'm banging on the table to highlight these three cases. Sorry, Alice. And those key cases have all gone to the High Court, all been held to be in favour of the artist. No, that's not true. I think the George Michael one was in favour of the record company because he did take legal advice. But certainly Elton John and Joan Armour Trading were held to be unlawful. And so when you are successful and you've agreed terms with the management in terms of the contract, you know, also think about ownership and copyright and the master tapes. That's more record company stuff, isn't it, Senna, really?
Yeah.
But still the management... The management needs to sort of know about that too. So if you are a manager out there and you want to speak to us, please do, because we can, I know we'll have a number of sessions with you what you need to know too, but copyright's so important in terms of ownership because that's where your pension is.
Yeah.
You know, the publishing rights is where your pension is. That's where your money is. And that's where you see so many artists, so many fantastic artists and fantastic tunes, their works being selling the Halifax or selling Toilet Roll, because the publishers have now owned the rights and they're not necessarily the same as the author and the owner, and they can do what they want with it. And so many young people out in the outset, understandably, no criticism intended, will, as Alice said from the outset, sign away the rights, because I'm sure they're playing tonight in a gig and they're not interested in the small print. But I do urge you just have a wee bit of maturity, and I don't mean that in a rude way, to grab the legal side and look at it, because it's if you are successful, then it'd be very, very important and useful to do so.
Yeah, and like you say, whereas the copyright and ownership side of things maybe more the record company, like Senna was saying at the beginning, it's important that you and your management company know exactly what you want to do from the outset, so then your management company can support you in making a decision about ownership or copyright. So like you say, having that management agreement in place initially, where your goals and your sort of boundaries are set out very clearly, I think would be very important.
Yes, definitely, which is usually detailed under these agreements by way of the artist obligations and the manager's obligations. So if you look at those, it'll be quite clear from there exactly what your responsibilities as either an artist or a manager are.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about it, guys. You spend a fortune, perhaps, on your equipment. You spend a fortune on transport, on your white van, getting through, tubing through gigs. And you're spending a fortune trying to climb up that ladder to success. Now, even if you don't have huge record success and you don't, and you're not in the top 10 of best-selling bands, you may well have a really good living. You can have a fantastic living being in a band and making music, and you can become that. You can have generate a reasonable income and get yourself a mortgage and all those boring things. But it's all about ownership and contracts. So you need to do it, and irrespective of if you're a small outfit touring the provinces or you're a young up-and-coming thing, that's going to be big.
Yeah.
You know, you have to presume that you're going to be big, but statistics indicate that you're not, you know? So, good luck.
Anything else?
Not that I want to add.
No, I think just generally, if you're in a band and you need a management agreement, let us know, because we've got templates that you can have, you know, very, very reasonably. Yeah. And if you're a manager and you want a bespoke and or template, get in touch too. And myself and Senna, always available. Mobile details on the website, or contact us via the website. And we'll see you next time, guys. Thanks, Alice.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Bye, guys.